your truth.
And what do you mean by that?
Harmonizing your thoughts, feelings, and actions.
I like that. So your greatest power is in your discovery and understanding of self.
That's right.
Finding Happy Podcast will help you understand how your thoughts affect your life.
Thoughts become feelings, and our feelings create a halo around us. Finding Happy Podcast will help you cultivate favorable outcomes and avoid harboring negative energies.
Wow, I like that. Thoughts become feelings, which then become habits that we practice. Finding Happy Podcast will help or give the listener an insight into how what they do is a reflection of their subconscious minds. And it will help you understand how to program your mind to attract what you want consciously.
You deserve to thrive in this life. Find your happy.
Finding Happy Podcast.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You're listening to You Me Radio. And today, joining me is who I consider a phenomenal woman. But just let me introduce her. So it is my pleasure to introduce you to Joan Blair, a mother, wife, realtor, co-owner of Blair Realty Group, Inc., owner of Blair Events, Inc., and a volunteer for the Daryl Armstrong Foundation for Premature Babies. Hello, hello, hello. I am so psyched to have you with me Hi. This morning.
Hi, Coach Raquel.
Hi. How are you this morning? I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing well. I am blessed.
That is wonderful.
God's been good, and I'm grateful.
Yes. Me too. Welcome to Finding Happy. This is my safe space.
Thank you.
It's my place of rescue.
Thank you for inviting me in your space.
Such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
I'm just going to share a little bit about you, your bio, with the rest of the persons who are listening. And I just want to say welcome to those listening on YouTube, those on iHeart, Podbean, iTunes, Google Apps. There are so many of them. I keep forgetting sometimes to say hello to them and they call us out. So I just want to say wherever you're listening right now, thank you so much for being here. We value your presence. We value your support. And we just want to say have a great time as we go through this session. I hope it will be informative and inspiring and empowering for you. So Joan Blair is a proud realtor of the Orlando Regional Realtor Association. And if you Google her, you'll see her on almost all the realtor websites, because I did. And she's a member of the National Association of Realtors. Her over 10 years experience in the real estate industry and her 24 years in the hospitality industry has given her the firsthand experience to work with individuals on all levels. Joan is passionate about negotiating the best possible transactions for her clients. In addition, she and her siblings partner in business, that's the part that really touches me, to educate families about building and protecting themselves, their wealth, and leaving a legacy for generations to come. Joan's corporate background, experience, and unparalleled attention to detail ensures each transaction and interaction is a pleasant and memorable one. That's beautiful. I just want to, you were a guest on the show, Let's Talk Relationship on You Me Radio.
Yes.
And as I sat there and I listened to you, it was so heartwarming for me, just listening to the passion that you spoke about. And when you spoke about making it a beautiful experience for persons who are purchasing their home, it told me that there was something deeper about you that was very special. If you could just take us back a little, who is Joan, and just connect her to an early childhood experience that you think that the early childhood experience that made you who you are today?
Well, first I will say my childhood experience that I think that brought me to the person I am today. I am a twin. I have a twin sister. I also come from a very large family. We are very family oriented. And we were just such a close-knitted family where we just took care of each other. We looked out for each other. And that's something I just took with me through the years, is just looking out for other people. And apart from these people were my blood relatives, I also went to an extension beyond the family, where you are intentionally looking out for the best for the next person. So that's what I think has shaped me as a person and to where I am today. Just a little background on where I'm from. I was born in the UK. I consider myself a Jam Brit American. or a Brit Jam American. That's actually the order it would be in. So a Brit Jam American. I was born in the UK. We went to Jamaica in the 70s. Our parents are actually Jamaicans. They took us to Jamaica in the early 70s. And then in 1985, we came to the United States. And we're now proud American citizens. So that's where it comes from, the Brit Jam American.
I love it. Flavored.
Right, yes. Exactly. So as I said, we went to Jamaica in the early 70s. And we did our schooling. Most of our education was done, early education was done in Jamaica. I went to in high school, I went to Westwood High School. I'm not sure how many people are familiar. It's one of the best.
Well, I went to Manchester High, and I think that's the best too.
Well, you know, we all think our schools are the best.
I know, right?
So I went to Westwood High School, which was an all-girls boarding school. So I went to a British-type boarding school, which taught me a lot of independence, how to be an independent individual. And this, we were there at age 10. So that was very early. We're not fully developed mentally, physically, or anything. But it taught us during that process, and we went there for 5 years. So in that 5 years, being with over about 450 students, you had to fend for yourself. You had to look out for each other. You had to be creative just to survive in the environment. It was a very strict, you know, very rigid, strict environment. And so all these factors just shaped us into being better women by the time we left high school. And so I left high school in 1985, and I graduated the Thursday. My parents put me on the plane on the Sunday. It's like,
oh, wow. Yeah.
Didn't get any time to play around there. So,
right.
So I came here in 1985. Just took a few months to acclimatize myself to the US environment. It was new to me, trying to figure out which direction we're gonna go, what we're gonna do. My parents were already here working really hard to get the entire family, all five siblings, kids, just to get them to the US, which they thought was gonna be a better opportunity for us to be here. So we got here, and my parents were my mom was already working in the hospitality industry. She was the director of housekeeping for a major hotel chain here in Orlando. And so at that time, still, we're looking out for everybody. So she was one who was intentional in making sure that especially Jamaicans or people who she wanted to help were employed in several positions within this establishment. And so she had a reputation of looking out for people, providing people to the employers.
With opportunities.
Exactly.
Wow.
So
remarkable.
When we got here, that's the industry we knew. And this is when I realized people went to school for hospitality. We just thought that's what you do.
Yes.
I didn't know it was a class, you had to get a degree or a class or anything. So I thought it was fascinating. So I went to the hotel, started as a front desk clerk. Therefore, you know, interacting with different people from different culture. This is Orlando, you know, the Disney, Universal, the SeaWorld.
Yes.
International guests coming through by the millions. So that was a speed training, I could say, just being at the front desk. So I worked there for a while and progressed in the positions I was given along the way. Got into sales at the hotel, then got into management. And the hotel was just the best. I think that environment was the best thing that happened to us at that time. We also got the opportunity where the owner also helped us, invested in our education, if we produced while you were in school. So we had no choice but to excel at what we're doing if we really needed the help. So, you know, people have helped us along the way, and we believe in helping people as we, you know, interact on a daily basis. So after being the director of sales at one of the largest properties that the company had, it was over 1,020 rooms. After being there for a while, there is a time you just get to the ceiling and, you know, you're saying, what's next?
So what's next?
I'm like, what's next? So with that, I had a passion of doing events. I just always had a passion of doing events. And in that particular establishment, I didn't see the opening to do that. So I went on to saying, well, you know what? Entrepreneurship may be what's calling my name at this time. So at that time, I started Blair Events. At that time, it was called Events, etc. So I started Blair Events. I also went to, and while doing Blair Events, I said, you know, I don't think I want to go back into corporate America. But then I got a call. And the call just seemed to be, the timing was right. It just seemed to be, it was just a God-given assignment.
Aligned.
Right?
It was divine alignment.
Yes. And so a friend of mine from the hospitality industry referred me to a local park who needed some marketing done for them. And so I joined that company. It was called the Holy Land Experience, which was owned by Trinity Broadcasting Network, TBN. Paul and Jan Crouch finally bought that park. And so I worked with them for a while doing sales and marketing. When TBN bought the park, I stayed on in the park as their production coordinator for TBN and the local productions they did here for the national TBN station. So I did that for about 5-6 years. And during that time, it was about 2008 when they had the crash, economical crash. And we were like, what are we gonna do now? My sister at that time, she was a realtor, I think from since about 2000. So she was a realtor at that time, worked with large real estate companies. And she came to me one day and she goes, I'm gonna start my own brokerage. And she said, I know everybody's saying this is crazy. It's the craziest time. And I said, you know what? You are an entrepreneur. You like risk. Because at this time,
yes.
Why would you choose this time? And she was like, you know what? I think this is the best time. And actually, she mm-hmm. laid out what her thought process with. And I just got on board. She was busy working.
Oh, that's lovely.
Together. She showed me her vision. And I was like, I can align with that. You know, let's do
this. Wow.
So we worked together tirelessly just to put the business together. And I think to this day, that's one of the best decisions she made.
Wow. Yes. Because the best time breakdowns bring about breakthroughs.
True.
It's just that sometimes when breakdown is happening, persons become fearful because right. now you're saying, what's missing? Something's missing. What do we do? Would you say that your childhood experience prepared you for what you're doing now? Because as you took me through that journey, I mean, and when you spoke last and I went back on your thing and I saw where you were in hospitality, I thought to myself, I understand the baseline of your care for clients because I worked with Sandals. Okay. That was my first work experience. And I'm very thankful for it because it really cultivated in me a very different kind of customer care.
Right.
Yes. So as I hear you go through the journey that you took, would you say that that was necessary for where you are now?
I think that was definitely necessary. I think our yes. path in life is ordained by God. We may wonder, why did we go through some of the things we go through? But then when you look back, I could say I don't regret going to a boarding school. Yes. I don't regret working. Yeah,
because that was early.
That was early.
Yeah.
And
it was. You were 10 years old.
And you just imagine 10 years old. No parents around.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
You just yeah. have to maneuver through life yes. right now. And we didn't get to go home at
Absolutely.
All until the end of 4 weeks.
Wow.
Just to even get a break to, you know.
Yeah. Wow. So,
but
yes,
that's what shaped you. And as you were talking about the hospitality industry,
yes.
it did shape the way you treat people. It talks about customer service, customer
yes.
satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And I yes. shared with you guys the last time, our motto for the real estate company is our experience will be your best investment. That's for the real estate.
I love that.
And so
I love it.
The customer service part of us that we think about
yes.
every day, making sure we meet the client's needs, wants, and demands, you know, make sure that the customer experience is something they will never regret. And I can tell you,
wow.
it works for us because most of the time, most of our clients are referrers. And the referrals
yes.
are because of the experience these people have. And you know,
yes.
the best compliment you can give me is a referral.
Is a referral. Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
So it definitely shaped us to what we are doing today. Another
nice.
Thing I also didn't mention, and I wanted to mention
mm-hmm.
when it comes to what shaped us or brought us to where we are today and our entrepreneurship way of doing things. I was brought mm-hmm. up in a household where my mom, she was very creative, very, very creative. And I remember mm-hmm. in the 70s, you know, times were hard. My dad, he traveled, he went back to England while we were still in Jamaica just to make sure he provided for his family. And so
yes.
in the household we were in, we found different things to do just
yes.
to make money. So my mom,
mm-hmm.
and our caretaker at that time, our house was known for baking. So this is where the trading started. We would go to the shops in the community and make sure that they know we have this product and we would like this product to be sold in your shops. So every day we were sent out. We were sent, and we didn't even think about it at that time, what we were doing. I was
right?
like, oh, my mom sent
yes.
me to the shop to drop off cakes or guisadas or, you know, pink on top
wow.
or tambourine balls. And so the caretaker and my mom, they were always, you know, preparing things for us to bring to these stores And we knew everybody in the community. Everybody knew who we were.
Yes.
And they respected us. So we would deliver things to these different people, different shops, replenish the stocks, you know, take the orders. And we were like, oh, wow, they're killing us with all this work. Not knowing we were in training at that time.
Okay? It was building you for industry. Yes.
Building us for the industry. And my brothers, they went to high school. They went to William Nibb High School in Falmouth. They would take the cakes in their bag to school and, you know, sell it to the kids at school.
Yes. Wow.
That's, you know, and we didn't think about that. But that is something that, you know, make us know there are ways and means of empowering ourselves to bring, you know,
yes,
basically your economic power eventually.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And sorry, go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. And just for, yes, that's beautiful. And I love where we have started and I love where we are right now, because that's what we're going to talk about. Okay. So our topic for today is bonding for socioeconomic empowerment. And I just wanted to first understand your background, how you got into it. And so we're here. For me, an entrepreneur is someone who brings into existence something that never existed before, because that's pretty much what a leader is. So an entrepreneur is a leader. As you described your experiences in childhood, a lot of times, even when we're being industrious, sometimes because of the background that demanded for us to become industrious, we don't really realize that this is cultivating in us skills and talents and gifts that will help us to fulfill purpose, you know? Because, for example, I'm not saying this is the case, but it could be that your parents just wanted to generate income to become economic or financially independent. But while doing so, they were building in their children an industrious mindset and attitude and behavior. And so it has built you in, and you would have learned early to how to work with people and how to achieve while working with people. So it kind of set the tone. I mean, 10 is really, really early, but as a child who didn't really have parental governance in my own life, at 8 is when I decided I'm going to use a cross. And how I used it was to identify what I have, and all I have was birds and trees. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, I put what I'm going to do with that. And the birds were entertainment, you know? So as I listen to yours, I'm seeing where they're building in you, though we may not understand, they're building in you a sense of independence, a sense of self-care, a sense of industry, how to generate things, and also a sense of leadership. Based on your experience, how would you define an entrepreneur? Who is an entrepreneur in your opinion?
I would say an entrepreneur is someone who makes I think the behavior has to be intentional. It has to be an intentional behavior, an intentional decision to pursue your passion. And with that, you know, to create economic empowerment through that passion, whatever that passion is. And I think it's a way to fulfill your God-given purpose. I think we're purpose-driven. And I think entrepreneurship is a way to do that. I think an entrepreneur is as I was talking about my sister earlier, is a risk taker. You have to be a risk taker. As an entrepreneur, I would also say you have to be self-driven. Mm-hmm. It's just something, you know, if you're a dream builder as an entrepreneur,
I like that.
You have to be a dream builder. You have to think dream way builder. Ahead of, you know, where you want to be, how things are going to go. Yes. I also see an entrepreneur as a problem solver. You know, it's my sister the other day, she did an article for a magazine and it was called Pivots During the Pandemic, or Pivots in the Pandemic.
I love that.
Ooh, and, you know, you have to think about situations, when situations are happening, you don't panic. You don't panic.
Exactly.
During this pandemic. You don't panic. You look for opportunities that are available.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what COVID, I think during this COVID period, you're going to see a lot of entrepreneurs because this is when they get creative. This is when people don't panic and they're like, what do we do next? It gives us some time to think about what do we do next. So I think things get birthed during this time.
Mm-hmm. And, right.
So that's who I see an entrepreneur as, you know.
To be awesome. I'm just going to share some of mine with you. And my number three was problem solver. But you said something that I really love, pivoting. Pivoting is something that usually is associated with netball.
You know what?
At least for me anyway. It's with game.
Yes.
But to be a successful business or a successful entrepreneur, you've got to learn to pivot.
Yes.
You have to know how to pivot. That's just amazing. Light bulb moment for me. And also what your sister also demonstrated is spotting that opportunity.
Right.
You know, especially in a time when, because I do think that sometimes the most unique of opportunities come to maybe one person in the group, and it's very difficult for everyone else to see, because that's what vision is.
Right.
It's difficult, but you must be able to sell it, right? Exactly. You must be able to present it just like she did. Because you have to know who you're pitching to, you have to have an understanding of who they are, and you have to meet them where they are, which is just beautiful.
And that's a challenge, as you said that. That's a challenge that most, that's one of the biggest issues in being an entrepreneur, is to know how to clearly get across to people what you're seeing. And people will not understand. It's hard telling those around us, you know.
It is.
And therefore, it takes a certain skill to relate that, to get them to line up with what you want them to understand. And that
happens
with people who work with you. You have to let them see the vision, to let them align with you to get the best result. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest challenge. And you're dealing with people.
Yes.
So you know how that is.
Yes.
That's the biggest challenge.
Absolutely.
You know, just getting them the clarity of what you're trying to convey. So.
Exactly. And sometimes you're trying to bring clarity to a thing that has not yet fully formed.
Right.
So you have to navigate
that picture. You have to paint that picture.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're trying to get to them. So.
Yes. Yeah. Some of the I have my top 10 qualities of an entrepreneur. And I think you highlighted some of yours too. I have one. The first one is an inner motivator. Not just to be motivated, but have that inner self that is consistently motivating you.
Yes.
Right? You must be a creator, as in you can create something new. You can bring something into existence. Mm-hmm. Then I have problem solver. You also said this one, risk taker, innovator, an opportunist. And that doesn't mean being opportunistic, but being an opportunist, which is what your sister did. She spotted an opportunity.
And taking advantage of the moment.
And then number seven is breakdown specialist, right? And I think that's what your sister was being. She saw this pandemic. Sorry, it wasn't the pandemic. Was it the pandemic? She saw what was happening. She saw the breakdown, the 2008 breakdown, meltdown. She saw that breakdown. And she was going to embrace that breakdown and look for the opportunity therein. Right. Purpose-driven, like you said. I also think one of the qualities of an entrepreneur is their misfits. You really don't fit into the general because of your ideas. Yes. And finally, they're an originator. You're constantly generating new ideas to move forward. What do you say would be your top 10 if you're able to share? Or any top 3, 5, 10, whichever.
Of my three top 10 of
qualities of an entrepreneur. Qualities of an entrepreneur.
I think an entrepreneur, you have to be persistent as an entrepreneur. When we talked about, you know, we're being intentional in achieving our goals.
Yes.
You have to be persistent. As the Bible said, you cannot be weary in well-doing, because in due season, you're weary. So persistence to me is very, very important when it comes to being an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Also, you have to accept and prepare yourself for the process. You have to prepare
Preparation.
Yourself
for the
process. Preparation is very, very important. A lot of people don't know how to prepare themselves when they are going to be doing something. Some people think success comes overnight. Being an entrepreneur, it's just going to happen. The light bulb is just going to go off by tomorrow in the bank, depositing all the cash. But it's a process. So we need to know that being an entrepreneur, it's a process. You have to prepare yourself for that process. Let me see.
Yes.
As an entrepreneur, you have to... I think you have to appreciate people, because people I think are the cornerstone of any business. I know we have like modern technology. We have the Zoom, we have different, we call them CRM systems that help us to do certain things. But I think people still remain that core.
Absolutely.
Of any business, you know.
Yes.
CV and all these other things can't do the things that having that connection with people. So I think
absolutely
people, as I told you, you know, that hospitality industry had helped me to understand the mindset of different people, accept people where they are, how to appreciate people, know who you can connect with in business. So I think that people relation is very important in entrepreneurship.
Wonderful. You're so correct, because even in the case of technology, someone created the technology.
Yes.
And based on how you interact with that technology, for example, Google, they will withdraw it from you. That's why they have policies and terms and all of that.
Exactly.
So you're so on point with that. Yes.
But my main thing about entrepreneurship. As an entrepreneur, this is my number one, I would say. You have to know your purpose. You have to know why you're doing what you're doing.
Purpose.
The purpose, what is your why? You as a coach, you know that. What is your why? Why do you do
this? Yes.
Are you driven to be? I know I'm driven to build generational wealth, and this is not.
Yes, me too.
What we're doing right now is not for us; it's for the generation to come.
Us.
Yes, and I read the good book, the Bible, and it says, "Always, you know, we try to leave something for our children's children."
Yes.
So it's not even for my son, it's for his children.
Children and their children.
And their children. So, you know, you have to know why you're doing what you're doing. As a realtor, I am a realtor because I want to empower home ownership. So that's my why. My why for my event company is to make sure people have an experience in their event above exceeding what they thought it would be. My motto for that one, for my event company, is whatever you expect, we do more. We want to make sure it's above and beyond what they thought it could be. I love going beyond the dreams. So
yes,
you know your why. And I think that's the main.
Absolutely.
That's my number one, is knowing your why.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can you tell us a little about your process of when you started started in the world of entrepreneurship? Well, let me share my belief with you first, what I understand, especially having become a coach. I do believe that from the jump, with everything that we do, we're born an entrepreneur by default. It's a default thing. because right. we were created in God's image and he's a creator.
Right.
And so I see even employment different. If I come to work with you, you're just a full-time, long-term partner of mine. I remember walking into interviews and people looking at me real strange. This young lady who clearly didn't have much and need this job coming in here telling us she's not here to interview, she's here for a meeting.
You know, exactly.
We don't say it's not an interview.
We don't do interviews.
Exactly. I would say it's a meeting. I mean, I really wanted the job, and I think in my young mind, I didn't really think it would go the other way sometimes.
Right.
Because I thought, of course, it's natural. We're here to meet with each other. I have some set of skills and you have some access to resources.
Yeah,
we're going to connect.
Here.
Exactly. So I believe that from the onset, it's just that some contracts are longer term contracts than others, right? But when you got into the awareness and the consciousness that I'm doing entrepreneurship or intrapreneurship, this is what I'm doing. What was that process like for you, especially during the building period where you might have been earning, but you were reinvesting in to build the business, that building process? Describe that for us.
Is that for the real estate business or just
you as an entrepreneur, the moment you decided becoming an entrepreneur, because I think you started with the events company first, right?
Yes. So.
Right. Just launching yourself as an entrepreneur in the mindset of an entrepreneur.
Well, when I decided I wanted to be an entrepreneur, first I said to myself, as I said earlier, it's intentional. I said to myself, I'm not going back into corporate America. And I said it. And now that I actually said it, I had to work towards mm-hmm. what I was going to do to make sure that mm-hmm. didn't happen. I also knew that I had to create my own path at this point, because I know there was nowhere that I know I was going to inherit anything from anybody else. I know, you know, my parents always said this. This is a quote my parents always say. Mother may have, father may have. God bless the child who has his own. Yeah. So we talked about being intentional. After I said it.
Yes.
And I released it to the atmosphere. I said, now I have to make sure this doesn't happen. So I just laid out what my vision was. What did I want my future to look like? And how I think it would benefit even after I'm gone. So I had to make, you know, as the good book says, write the vision, make it clear.
Yeah, make it clear. Have a
make
book too.
It very clear. This is what I want.
Yeah. Yes.
This is where I want to be or start to be at a certain level. Then I say to myself, how do you get there? What is the process going to look like? And this is something we learn in marketing or is where you are.
Yes.
Okay. I'm at the beginning.
Where you want to go?
Trying to be an independent person, an entrepreneur. This is where I am. Where do you want to be? I want to strive for success, which to me, success is, you know, it's a process for me, because
yes, me too.
Every day you work on whatever you know. Today I may think I'm successful. No. To me, success is the maximum effort. When will we ever get to the maximum effort? You know, I think it's a continuous process. So
absolutely.
I look at where I am, where I wanted to be, and in where I wanted to be, not only for me as an individual, but as I said, for generations to come. I want to be the one that my great-great-granddaughter can say, oh, gray-haired grandma left me something. Great-great-grandma left me an establishment to run. or a business to run. That was handed down to me. Okay. So when they hear the name, they'll know, oh yes, I remember her great grandmother or her great great grandmother.
Well, where does that kind of mindset come from in this narcissistic microwave world that we're in? Where does that kind of mindset come from?
Well, for me, I'm not the microwave type of person. I know everything.
Okay.
It's a process. It's not here and now. Mm-hmm. And so it's not that overnight thing. I know right now we are forced to create our own wealth because we did not inherit anything from our parents. You know, today we're fighting battles they never won. You know, we're fighting, you know, so it has to start somewhere. And we have resources now that can help us. We have the knowledge, we have the resources, the availability of things now to create something for the future. Our parents never had the things we have now. They didn't have the knowledge we have now. So I want it to be a continuous process through my generation that in five generations down, they will be way advanced than I will ever be. But I have to me, everything is so intentional. It's, you have to be strategic.
Yes.
It's intentional. You have to be strategic in what, in your legacy planning. What do you want to leave? What do you want people to know that, you know, listen, I know it didn't happen for my mom and dad, but it has to start somewhere. I'm gonna be the person who starts this. I'm gonna be the person who does. So that's the mindset. It's all in the mindset. That's the mind. An intentional mindset you have to create for doing what you do as an entrepreneur. So
So I sat here while you were talking and I wrote something that I think it sounds to me like you're saying is a formula, right? The intentional formula, because you say that word intentional, you know, like be intentional.
It has to be.
I remember you have to be. I wrote my book, it hasn't even published, Finding Happy, hence my being here because I chickened out. And I have 7 rules of intention. And as I was sitting here, I was writing yours down. I was, because I don't remember what's on mine, but as I heard you say it over and over, I'm like, oh wow, we're connecting there, because I know I have it too. And I hear you say decide. You've got to decide. Number one, decide,
right?
Number two, commit. Make a commitment to your decision.
You've
made a decision, commit to it. Yes. And then I'm hearing you say create a pathway. Create some kind of idea of that pathway you want to take. Then you have to draft the vision. Lay out the vision.
Lay it out.
What's the vision? Yes. Then have a strategic plan. And you also have as a target, a legacy plan.
Right.
And then having an end in mind.
Right. Yes.
That's, And when you mentioned your legacy plan, there was focus on the beneficiaries of that plan.
Yes.
That would have guided that. I think this, just this by itself, is such a big deal. And if you're listening, this is Yumi Radio. We're on Finding Happy. And we're talking to Joan Blair. And this is an intentional formula. Like, if you don't know what it means to be intentional, and if you don't know how to approach it intentionally, these are some guidelines that you can actually use, because it's like a complete plan. And if you follow this plan, I promise you, you can't go astray. This is someone who's done it before. And the amount of times I hear you say intentional.
Intentional is that.
Yes, we have to do with intention.
And I think some people fail because they're not intentional. They're just winging it.
That's true.
They're not
exactly.
So that's why I think intentional is a very important formula for
the success
of being an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
I think you'll fail if you're not intentional, because
you have to be.
So
Yes.
You know, that's my always my
goal. I'm on purpose. Yes.
I'm on purpose in whatever I do.
Me too. I love it. I can feel it. I know when I'm speaking, success coaching is my gift. Okay. I didn't know for a long time. I thought it was just, I'm a great communication strategist. I do PR really well. I'm great with digital marketing and building websites and everything, until I discovered my purpose. And then everyone was like, oh, we already knew.
I was going to say, you know, if I met you before, I would have told you that. You wouldn't have to waste your time. I would have told you. You're great.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, it comes so naturally for me. I don't know how I didn't know, but when you're not in awareness of self, and I had huge losses just because I wasn't aware of who I was.
Right.
I didn't understand that purpose. Like, this is it. You know, like, and now that you know, it's so, it just flows naturally. So even in speaking with you, I will know if you're in purpose or not, because I feel it in my spirit. And like, I'm talking to you now, and I'm just like, there's such harmony happening in my body. Like, I'm literally feeling the experience of it, because that's what gives me joy. When I see other people win and other people connect with their purpose, it brings me peace and joy.
Great.
Right? So what would you say, if you were to share with our listeners your top 10 principles? There I go with the top 10s again. I like when they leave with something. So you don't have to give 10 if you don't want to, but anywhere within that realm, principles of successful entrepreneurship.
Principle. Well, for me, first of all, I put God first in everything I do.
Yes.
Okay? So it
absolutely.
That's just me. It tells me. Yes. And the reason why I do that, there's a reason for everything I do, you know.
Intention.
Yes. I put him first because in the good book, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him.
Acknowledge him, and he shall
direct your part.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to the direction, why you're doing what you're doing. You know, that's one of my first principle is I put him first.
Yes.
The second thing is, and we talked about it before, is my why. Why do I do what I do? So, you know, write your vision, you make it clear, you know, home ownership. I want people to be empowered to be homeowners.
Yes.
People who think home ownership is not attainable. And sometimes
could we linger on that one a little bit, please?
Okay, we'll go there.
Because I feel myself getting emotional. I remember getting my first home.
Yes.
I mean, it was, I'm going to share this with you.
Okay.
I remember when I decided, I was living in Kingston, I was working with the government, and someone broke into my home.
Wow.
I was also building a new business, and so I had persons working in my home, my one bedroom that I had. And I remember she must have left or something, because someone broke in and all they took was the VCR. And when that happened, I said, okay, God, I guess you're telling me something, you know, because it could have been worse. It wasn't.
Yeah.
So I remember the man was fixing the door, and I said, I'm moving into my own home in 3 months. That's what I told myself. And then I remember sitting myself down and saying, okay, listen, you're not going to go through what you went through with the car. Everything you've done so far is just a struggle. We're not going to struggle this one, okay? Right. It's going to be the easiest, freest flowing thing you ever done. So I created a gratitude wall.
Okay.
Because I had no money. I had no money when I said I wanted my own home. And I was like, this is what's going to happen. I'm over this. And that's what's going to happen. And I remember I had my gratitude wall, and it was on my wall, and I would thank him for the piping, the bathtub, the everything. I thanked him for it. Mm-hmm. And I remember I pursued it, and every day I would thank him for it. And I had the thing, the Jabez prayer on my wall. Mm-hmm. And I remember as I went through the process, the person I hired to represent me for real estate,
okay,
I don't know what was happening with her.
Wow.
But the funny thing is, it was the person I was buying the house from, he was a real estate agent and he was retiring. And when he saw me, I remember he said to me, he said, there's something about you. You empower people. Like, I can just tell. And so I want you to have this home. Wow. And I remember it was just the worst experience with my representatives. The man who was selling me the home was the person who had my interest at heart. He was the one who would say, reach out to them now. Sometimes he would send me drafts and say, see what my lawyer just sent you? Your lawyer responded, right here did not work in your favor. You need to go back to them. Like, he was the one. I remember when it closed. Yes. He was like, where is your lawyer? Like, do you know you're about to lose this house? Do you know you're about to lose your money and everything that's supposed to happen? And I'm still going and going because I said, you know, I'm going in 3 months. And I remember, to make it worse, when I got the keys for the house eventually after all the issues, August 22, my dad died. My dad died at the time. He died at the time I was collecting the key.
Wow.
It was the weirdest. I don't even like the place. You know? I don't even like the place. I'm not there. You know? It was just such an experience. And I loved that you talked about it, because real estate is perhaps one of the greatest or most potent investment for legacy, for family.
Right.
And, well, I can speak about my community and even in my own family, because I'm from a broken family and I grew up in the hills, you know? I mean, if I were to tell you my story, you'd be like, wow, how do you get here? You know, because I didn't really have anyone to take care of me and things like that. And one of the things I'm like, man, everyone is just moving. They're always moving. Like, you're constantly packing up and moving. Mm-hmm. And it is such an important thing, I think, but I don't know that people understand just how important it is. What is it that made you realize that dealing with people for real estate was so important and should leave a good, lasting impression? What was it that triggered that for you, that kind of cultivated that for you?
Well, as I shared in the other show, I had a slightly different experience on my first home. And I actually, the experience I had wasn't the greatest, but it wasn't as bad as yours. And it wasn't the worst.
Yes.
But I keep recalling the feeling I had when I became a homeowner. The feeling of achievement, the feeling of independence, the feeling of owning your own space, the feeling that you accomplished something that you could pass down. And at that time, when I got my first home, I was single. So that was a very big achievement for me then. I was single. So just the feeling I got when I got my home, the things that I didn't know then that I know now, which would have made the experience much better, the transaction more productive, more beneficial for me. Those are the things I'm just learning when I became a realtor. So my motivation now is to make sure these people are informed. People who I deal with, I want to make sure they're informed of the process, informed of what's available to you, informed of the loans, what the mortgage companies can do for you to get the best deal, for you to have the best transaction, for you to benefit, for you to find equity, to make sure you're in the right place at the right time, buying the right product. So those motivation, it's like, doing the things I wish I had done then, or achieving
I wish.
And I wish that for everybody. I wish that for somebody else.
Yes.
And so it also empowers you
to want to do more, to want to acquire more, that would be, as I think real estate is one of the best investments you can make. You know, that's debatable.
Absolutely.
But that's just what I think. So
absolutely.
If it's one of the best investments, why not share it with people so they will know, listen, I know some people may want to do the stock market. Some people may want to do that. But please get a piece of your own, you know.
Absolutely.
Home ownership is something I think everyone, even if you want to experience it once, home ownership.
Yes.
I think everyone, and as I said, some people think it's not attainable. But that's because they lack the knowledge of how they can obtain it. Because I thought it was crazy the first time I went to get a house. I was like, what am I even thinking? Yeah. You know, I did the same thing that you did. I was like, okay, I see the house. And the thing is, I think preparation is so important because it's so funny. My sisters, they used to laugh at me. Everybody used to laugh at me because the Bible tells you, delight yourself and he gives you the desire of your heart. And I had that desire. You have to have that desire.
Yes.
And I had desire, that one day I wanted a house. Girl, I had everything for the house when I was about to move in. Everything was packed up in containers. And I was single. Everything was packed up for a house. I already had my little thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Containers, I did that too. Under the bed, you know, plates and dishes and shower curtains, everything. I had everything. Already dreamt about it. Didn't have the money, nothing. All I was doing is just, this is my desire and one day it's going to happen. And sometimes I think what you put out in the atmosphere, you know, God just worked. And it just ended up that somebody just called me and said, you know, I'm having trouble with this house and I'm going to lose my house.
Wow.
And do you want to come and look at it? And I was like, yeah, I'll come and look at it. And I just went. I didn't think about money. I just went and I said, you know, I always had a desire for the house. When I went to the house, the color turned me off, just the color of the house. Mm-hmm. And everybody was saying, Joan, you're going to buy that house with that color? I said, don't worry about it, baby. I got it in here. I know what I'm going to do with this house.
Yes.
And once I moved in the house, everybody just said, oh, Joan, this house looks like a model house. I already had the vision. I already knew what I wanted it to look like. And I just had faith, went ahead and did the purchase. You know, a little struggle in doing the transaction, but I got it done.
Yes.
And I accomplished what I thought about all these years, all the desires I had in my heart. And it happened. Yes. So sometimes, you know, we just have to get informed, know what is available to you out there. You know, you have that desire, but you also need the knowledge to apply to what you're going to do.
Absolutely. So
that's what I did. I tried to
wonderful
teach people how they can do that.
Amazing. Well, we're at the end. Session of the hour.
Oh,
you've been there's so much harmony. There's so much harmony in speaking with you. Oh my goodness. I love you. There's something about you. Yes, I think I want to have you back. Please go ahead and share your information. Sorry, I didn't hear you broke up.
No, I was going to say I would definitely love to be back.
Absolutely.
I would like to give some nuggets about time. That's not something people think about, you know, so.
Absolutely. Let's have a part two.
Okay.
Absolutely. So listeners, yes, we're going to have a part two, work out the details. And next time you come, we're talking real estate because it's something that is such a big deal. I grew up in a hut, right? As a kid, I slept on the spring. I slept on board, all of that. So for me, God is amazing. Something
else. Doesn't he blow your mind every time?
This is not by accident. And I'm a miracle child. So I understand that nothing that I just happens and I trust him. So definitely we'll have that conversation. I'd love for you to share your information. information. Let me share some I already have. You can email her at jblair, that's B-L-A-I-R, at blairrealtygroup.com. All the information, by the way, will be in the description below wherever you're listening. blairrealtygroup.com. Events ETC. No, so it's events, yes. ETC.
It's Blair
right, Events. ORL.com. Oh, it's the second. Oh, that's the email. Okay, sorry. BlairEvents.com. And right. Then on Facebook, it's at Blair Events ETC, at JV Blessed, at Gifts by Joan, G-I-F-T-S by Joan. And I'm going to make sure you get all the information. So do not worry if you're not getting, because they'll tell us that. The information, so all of it will be out there. You are a phenomenal woman to me, just completely phenomenal. You have such a heart. When I hear you speak, the heart that you speak with is such, there's such kindness, such warmth in it, and I just want to say thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I totally enjoyed myself.
My
I
absolute know we pleasure
have this connection. We'll talk.
Yes, there is something. I don't know what it is, but there is some. There's so much harmony that I'm feeling. And I usually experience that when I'm with a client who's experiencing a breakthrough. I usually have this fluttering inside. And I've been having it the whole time. So every time I connect with you, I feel it. So bless you. Bless you. Bless you.
It's
Thank you so
connection.
Much for being here.
It's a divine connection.
Yes. It certainly is. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for listening to Yumi Radio. Absolutely. Thank you. Did you have any final words that you wanted to say before I?
I just want to say, you know, every day we get up, we just need to be the best of what, you know, God wants us to be. And always put in 100%, you know, it's a continuous process. Just keep putting it. Just keep pouring.
Wow.
Just keep pouring in that glass. Yes. And if you think the glass is half full or half empty, it's refillable. Okay. So.
Wonderful. Thank you. This was such an amazing experience. Thank you so much for listening to Yumi Radio. This is Finding Happy. And of course, you know, at Finding Happy, we say your greatness is in your brokenness. Don't you ever, 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 ever forget that. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you've been through. You're phenomenal. You're amazing. And everything is working for your good. The universe loves you. It loves you. Your greatness is in your brokenness. Thank you so much for listening to Finding Happy right here on Yumi Radio.
Own your truth.
And what do you mean by that?
Harmonizing your thoughts, feelings, and actions.
I like that. So your greatest power is in your discovery and understanding of self.
That's right.
Finding Happy podcast will help you understand how your thoughts affect your life.
Thoughts become feelings, and our feelings create a halo around us. Finding Happy podcast will help you cultivate favorable outcomes and avoid harboring negative energies.
Wow, I like that. Thoughts become feelings, which then become habits that we practice. Finding Happy podcast will help or give the listener an insight into how what they do is a reflection of their subconscious minds, and it will help you understand how to program your mind to attract what you want consciously.
You deserve to thrive in this life. Find your happy.
Finding Happy podcast.